In this episode, you'll discover how to initiate lovemaking in a way that makes your queen feel safe and turned on like never before. So welcome in, heroic husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll eliminate self-doubt and fears of rejection that haunt most husbands in initiating sex. Number two, you'll be able to access a space where you are more fearless in leading your wife sexually. And number three, you'll stop being a Mr. Nice Guy feeling you need to land your invitation like a waiter asks if you would like to see the wine menu when you're initiating sex with your queen. No more of that shit. Welcome in, guys, to an amazing conversation. This is such a key point for so many men in relating with your queens, with your wives. I know myself, for years, this was such an edge, the whole initiating. I put my hand up, I hid behind, actually, my wounded shadow, my queen's fear of abandonment. She would initiate way more often, and I hid behind that for years and years. And sort of the intensity of my lack of initiation spurred her to create the situation. It's not that she never initiates. Actually, she feels very safe to initiate, and that's a beautiful thing. Masculine initiates and the feminine surrenders into the initiation of that, and masculine and feminine, my queen and your queen, can initiate. But from a practical perspective on an everyday basis in marriage, so many guys get into this same shit different day emotional psychological awkwardness of the fuck you meant to do. I mean, she doesn't want to have sex anymore, and this topic becomes infinitely bigger than it needs to be. In this episode, I want to bring some really grounded, practical mindsets and approaches, things that you can say to help you navigate this in a way that is way more skillful. I want to honor one of the guys. I'm not going to say his name, but the inspiration for this episode came from within the Heroic Husbands platform. We had what we call the King's coaching call there this morning. One of the guys brought this. It's like it ended up being a powerful half-hour coaching conversation with him on this exact topic. And why I was so excited about it is because it's so highly relevant to so many men in marriage. The longer in you go, there's this horrible myth in society that, well, it's a natural part of marriage that the sexual fire goes out over time. It's total horseshit. It's merely a symptom of a lack of skillful means of going at it. One distinction I want to make is this: what I'm saying is not exactly, it's a science. Lovemaking, marriage, communicating, doing that deep intimate dance sexually or energetically, emotionally, psychologically with your queen, it's part science. You can get black and white. That is a thing or a concept or a thing you can say, a thing you can do, and there's a good chance of it evoking response. And then there's part art. So please don't relate with the things I'm saying as a hard and fast rule. And it might even work for you, but that's where the art part comes in. Look at it more as a selection of tools to place in your toolbox for that initiatory moment, the certain black and white things I might say, what you can do and say. But it's more an intentional field, creating that intention from where you're coming inside of yourself. And that's probably the most important place to start. It's the language that came through me in the coaching, and I really like it. It's the difference between primary claim and secondary claim. You've heard me talk before, if you've been listening in, a primary purpose and secondary purpose. It's quite similar. Primary claim, well, the primary claim is inside of yourself and the secondary claim is outside of yourself. And the word claim, that comes from masculine and feminine energetic teachings, which is to claim your woman. And it's the type of term that man, the feminist movement and, you know, the wounded parts of her queens, it can feel really triggering. Claim me, I am my own person, you know, and it's very understandable given socially what has happened down through the years, intergenerational trauma, that quite a number of women will find that idea of being claimed scary, hurtful, disrespectful, etc., etc. Going beyond the projections of certain undealt with wounded parts of women, the claiming is a sacred claim. It's a claiming of, you know, you're my partner. I claim you as being my wife. I mean, if you're married, your husband, wife, there's a claiming. In the absence of claiming, you relate with your queen like she's a fucking friend. You know, like a friend in college. Well, I'm not going to claim a friend in college. She's my friend, but she's totally open to have other friends. I mean, I'm relating with her as, you know, a mate in the dorm. In the dorms. It's like, yeah, hey, did you meet Matilda? Yeah, you can go have a cup of coffee with her. She's a good mate of mine. You know, it's like, I relate as a friend. A friend doesn't claim. Maybe social media you do claim, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, we get a bit attached, quite attached with friendships now, but the energetic relationally is, as friends, you don't claim that one person as your friend. It gets really fucking needy and weird if you do. The claiming sexually is, you know, you're mine. You belong to me. We're life partners. We're sexual partners. I want you. It's this visceral, primal part of a man that has been so bastardized in this profoundly sick society that it's wrong. It's been so explicitly shamed that our, you know, we think with our cock and balls. We're like, and that's, there's a great wisdom in our sexual center. Actually, there's an immense wisdom in that part of our nervous system that when you tap into it, you'll find that you get turned on when you work these masculine, feminine, sexual relating dynamics in a way. There's an incredible wisdom of how your lower center will respond when you get these dynamics working for you and for your queen and for that sexual fiery energy to develop between you naturally. So that's the claim. What's the difference between the primary and the secondary? Well, let's define the secondary first. The secondary claiming is what you say to your queen, how you behave around her. It's you relating with this beautiful person outside of you. And the secondary claim is a part of you claiming what is outside of you. Hence, it's secondary. The primary claim is the most important part. It's you claiming your sexual attraction to your queen. It's you claiming unapologetically, without any shame, you're a sexual being. It's you claiming or reclaiming your right to desire your queen, to desire making love, to desire fucking her into bliss, to want her body, to want her in all levels, without needing to asterisk every single time. You know, it's like, oh, but no, it's lovemaking. God, like if I say I want to fuck you, it's like, oh, but that's so wrong. It's like there's an entire spectrum of sexual expression that if you weren't living in this profoundly sick society, if organized religion hadn't got its hands on you, if the undealt with sexual shame of your mom and your dad and intergenerational fucking societal shaming on sexuality hadn't got its greasy, horrible hands on your nervous system, you'd be fine. You'd be like, wow, I just love sexual energy. I love my libido. I love my desire for my queen. I love my desire. I love lusting after her. I love desiring and all levels and expressions of my desire. Yes, there are the spiritually poetic, you know, this like having sex as a spiritual expression, conscious, energetic, and man, yeah, I'm all for that. And then there's the down and dirty, and then there's the quickie, and then there's the ravishing her in the kitchen before, you know, the visitors come, and then there's that position, and there's that freaky thing that feels freaky to you, but you're going to honor that part of you without apology, without asking permission from the world, not asking permission to do it, but not asking permission from the world to go, there's a part of me wants this. The primary claim is reclaiming your birthright to be a male sexual being in this world without needing to asterisk every single time you express a desire and feeling like you need to apologize for intergenerational crimes, you know, that weren't yours, intergenerational trauma that wasn't yours. Of course, in this, if you have acted incorrectly with your queen in ways that were hurtful, you gotta own that shit, of course. That's the heroic husband way. However, underneath, no matter how you've related with your queen in the past, deep down, there's a primary claim. And I don't have the power to give you permission, but it's like, well, I'll pretend I do. I give you permission. I don't have the power, but I'm doing it anyway. I give you permission to look yourself in the mirror, to feel into your nervous system right here, right now, in your human experience, and go, I give you the permission to be a profound, spiritual, sexual being and be okay with that. I give you permission to not feel like one neuron in your nervous system has to feel an apology or has to feel wrong or has to feel that you have to feel sorry about any parts of your sexual expression. You're allowed to be human. You are allowed to bring all of your sexual attraction and your sexual energy to the table of life. That's the primary claim. Eradicating shame. And it's not saying that, oh, Mark said I just the primary claim and no shame would be there. I still have tons of pathways of sexual shame in my nervous system that come through me. What my practice is to go beyond that, those pathways of sexual shame, and not let them direct my whole lovemaking experience with my queen. Not let sexual shame dampen down my ownership of other parts coming through, going, yeah, there's one part that feels sexual shame, but I put that in the shelf and it's like, wow, all this kick-ass stuff that's trying to come through. So primary claim versus secondary claim. It's an important distinction because the secondary claim is where we tend to focus. Oh, what's the strategy I need to do? What do I say? What do I do to turn my queen on? Well, I could say anything to you. You could have fucking David Aida. You could have Justin Patrick Pierce. You could have whatever fucking intimacy expert on the planet in the male body telling you, or female, whatever. You could have a sex coach going, hey, you need to use this. Just do this. It will all fall flat on its face a lot of the time when parts of you are feeling it's immoral to even act like this. It's wrong. You're inadequate. You don't deserve to have your queen look at you in such a way. You don't deserve to be this bold. So given that context, I will now speak about how to go at it. So you set off that intentionality inside. You're like, I'm reclaiming this part. I'm going to give the sort of the example of what the guy brought in the King's Coaching Call. Kindly, kingly brother, if you're listening in, you know who you are. So thank you for the inspiration of this. The situation he gave, just so it keeps it live and real in me. He gave this situation where, oh, wow, you know, a few days ago, his queen was 10, 15 minutes. She was getting ready for a shower and the kids were away. Married guy with kids, like so many of us. And a part of him noticed, oh, there could be an opportunity here. Like we've got 10, 15 minutes. He felt a desire to initiate something with his queen. And he did it in a powerful, beautiful way, but his queen didn't fully respond. And I coached him in this way. I was like, man, and the context for him and the context for you is like, I will say certain things, but it's not like, just say these things. They're powerful starters. What is so important for your queen is that you practice being calm and assertive in expressing what you want from her. A powerful way to kick off sexual fire in the moment is telling your queen what you want her to do. And if you're like me, this felt like such a fucking edge because, hey, the Mr. Nice Guy conditioning, you don't tell mom what to do. You don't tell anybody, any woman in the world what to do. You ask permission. You tepidly ask permission and you ask their permission first. Are you okay with this? You know, I've got to pamper you and make sure there's not one neuron in your nervous system that's feeling displeasure. And then, hopefully beyond that, when I make sure you're not feeling any displeasure, then hopefully maybe, possibly, we could have sex. Nothing could be more unsexy. Definitely long-term into marriage, where they feel that there's like this 12-year-old just reached puberty 3 months ago attempt to initiate sex with them. Many times they're going to, if they're like, my queen, it's like, oh no, you know, I've got a headache, or, you know, oh, I'm just feeling tired. You know, thanks, honey, but no thanks. You're going to get that a lot. Maybe they do have a headache, but 90% of the time they're probably not going to have a headache. And maybe they are tired, but they're using that as an excuse. What their nervous system in those moments are saying is, dude, you're fucking tiptoeing around this. I might even be polite to you. I don't want you to feel hurt because you normally get pissy when I do that. But, you know, I'm going to smile and say thanks and no thanks. I'm just not turned on by you. That's what they're really communicating. You got to take that in the chin. How to get over that is direct them. And I would say with non-attachment to the outcome, that's a really key part. I have found that so liberating in my own practice with my beautiful queen. This idea of, well, if I do this now, she clearly knows I'm trying to initiate, like, actually having sex all the way to the point that we both orgasm, and that's the only point where I can celebrate victory as a man. The victory is in kicking off the dance, guys. Actually, the sexiest thing is, one of the most erotic things I experience with my queen is like in moments when there's not really a hope in hell, socially speaking. The situation is that, well, we're not going to end up having sex, full on, like, physical penetrative sex, call it the scientific terms. You know, it's on the couch, the girls are just gone out for a snack, mid family movie evening. I've got 2 minutes with her. I kick off the dance. And it can also definitely kick off the dance when, yeah, socially and environmentally, you can actually end up, you're in the bedroom or you're in a certain place and, yeah, you can end up having full sex. The rules are the same in a way. What I kick off is directly saying to my queen is like, get over here right now. Clearly it's like, you know, when you tell a joke, it's how you tell them. You'll know some guys are funny as fuck and other guys, they land it, they're just nothing humorous in how they're landing the joke. So, you know, the one guy will say that joke was crap and the other guy goes, I had 5,000 people laughing at that joke. The essence of where you're coming from, hence the primary claim, is important here. Act as if you're some sex god. The as if principle. If you're like me and a lot of guys out there, you this moment will elicit and evoke a sense of fear, a sense of anxiety, a sense of shame, a sense of tepidness in you, a sense of fear of like rejection. And in that moment, in that feeling, you might try to land a direct command, you might, but that emotion will drag you down. How to go beyond that is act as if, you know, your identity, act as if act as if you're a porn star. Act as if you're, I don't know, whatever movie star in that movie, Brad Pitt acting as this cock-confident, sexually activated guy. Like, act as if you're that guy. And then behave from there. It literally is a powerful psychological tool to get your nervous system to get into the role that will land it. Then you behave from there. Like, get over here, you know, right now. I want you over here. When you land that, and don't overthink it, part of your queen might even be, what the fuck are you even saying that to me for like that? Her mind, her woundedness. But you land it with the cheeky look in the face, with a smirk, with a smile, with a look of, in Ireland we say divilment, but like you're just not giving a fuck. You're liberated. You don't care how she responds. You know, get over here right now. And you're looking and you're claiming her with your eyes, with your posture. High chances, part of her mind might be resisting the idea, but part of her body will be stepping over towards you. And then she gets over, you know, oh, I just wanted to kiss you. Fuck no. Tell her what you want. What you want her to do. Kiss me. Don't go to kiss her. Tell her what you want. It's like, kiss me. Kiss me now. Now, just those two directional commands. Again, the feminist movement. Oh, you don't command me. It's like, well, cool. You know, I don't want to be married to a feminist. You know, because part of the sexual dynamic where a lot of sexual energy gets unlocked between husbands and wives, man and woman, is like the masculine feminine dynamic is the masculine practice is non-surrender. The feminine practice is surrender. But she needs to feel radically safe that she doesn't need to self-soothe any of your woundedness and your tepid ownership of your sexual claiming of her, of your sexual claiming internally of your own sexuality, of your own desire. She can only surrender and trust you to lead her in that moment when she feels you're unfuckwithably there. You're like, here I am, you know, get over here. In moments, the acid test is she safe to go, you know, screw you. You know, I just want to shower. Screw you. I'm actually tired. I told you I'm tired. Get out of here. In that moment, if you drop into collapse, you've went from non-surrender into submission. You've gone into disappointed. You've gone into a mush. And she's there going, that was a challenge. I was testing you to feel, am I safe to actually play this game with you? So she might very well challenge you. If she says, no, like, I'm just not in the form. It's like, what are you doing? You followed up with humor. You followed up with, okay, you're going off to bed, but I'm here to tell you, you look fucking hot in those pajamas. You still practice the non-surrender of your expression of your desire, your expression of your daringness, your expression of you want to play this game with her. There's that tussle between you, but you don't drop into submission. You don't drop into a wounded dog, you know, licking your wounds after it. And she's there going, fucking hell, I'm just tired. Can I not have my human experience? You'll find you do that practice of non-surrender, of owning your sexual desire to claim your queen. You'll find that she's going to have a cheeky look in her face. She's going, and over time with that, and hey, it worked out really well for me from the beginning. Since I've been playing with this, I think 80, 90% of the times that I do it, in the right context, we're making love full way, you know, 10 minutes later for the next, it might only be for the next 5-10 minutes. It depends, man. Sometimes, or an hour later, we're They're in the bed, naked, rolling around together. It's beautiful. But 80-90% of the time, there's a definite kicking off of sexual energetic attraction between my queen and myself. Whether you can act out on it to the full, or whether you're doing that flirty sort of like 1 or 2 minutes before the kids or the visitors come in, man, it brings that fire back to life. So, in summary, work on your primary claim. You're listening to this, bring that up in your self-talk. I deserve to reclaim, to express my sexual desire. I deserve to have this wanting. I deserve to, you know, allow myself generate a turned on feeling inside of myself. And I deserve to communicate that safely and directly with calm assertiveness to my queen, with a daring look of boldness in my eyes, a smirk in my face. And I'm not doing that. The victory is not when she actually surrenders and goes with the game. The victory is me reclaiming my birthright to express that. She's my queen. She's my wife. I'm allowed to do that. That will, in the vast majority of cases, bring so much of the sexual energy back online. It's really simple. There was one of the things that the guy said. He expressed a deep grief. Looking back, he's like, it's so simple, Mark, when you say it like that. There's a part of me wondering, all of those moments, you know, when I look back at so many years of marriage, like, why have I not been bringing that part? You know, it's so simple. When you say it like that, it's like, but of course I'll just do that. Well, it's simple when, that's where spiritual awakening happens, awakening on the journey of self-development. There are these awakening moments when, man, it's just so simple. I never thought of it like that. The reason why we don't think of it like that and it being simple is, well, we were so profoundly fucked over by this profoundly sick society and by parents that didn't know how to own their sexuality, and so much shame and the horrible conditioning on men in modern society and media, and women. There's a different flavor for both of us, but it has really damaged our self-esteem and our ownership of our sexuality, and that creates a lot of pain and suffering. So if you have that experience of grief and feeling into the simplicity, oh well, that just sounds simple. I had that grief, and pretty much every single guy that comes to learn how simple it can be will have that grief. But don't let that be a deterrent. Honor your grief, honor the sadness, the unlived life, how it could have been. I look back at 17 years and go, man, what a clusterfuck of fucking pain and suffering on some levels. Like, still so many years and so many experiences sexually where I just wasn't getting what I was wanting. But it's better to wake up today and reclaim your fullness than to wait till your deathbed and go, wow, now I can't go back. Now I don't have that body. Now she's not of that age. The vast majority of you listening in, if not all of you, I know the age profile, you still have a lot of sexual relating on the table. And it's a wonderful gift to bring that awakening into your life, into your bedroom today. No matter if it's been 20 years, 30 years, 40 years late in coming, reclaim your power today. Bring that sacred kingly fuck energy to your queen within yourself and have fun living happy, happily, healthily, hornily ever after together. In perfect alignment with this evolving movement, I'm signing off from the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In the coming days, it's going to be transitioning to the He Wants, She Wants podcast. I'm planting those seeds explicitly. Just touching base with you, we had some delivery issues with microphones. They're coming in this Friday, so it might be, at the time of recording, next Monday when the first episode comes out. But it's coming. It's coming hot and fast. I'm feeling the fire. I'm feeling the want energy in me, the want energy in my queen. And we're really wanting to bring that to husbands and wives out there. Want what you want. Don't want what you don't want. Get, like, minimize and lessen and decrease the stuff that you don't want in marriage, and empower yourselves to get what you want. And that happening both sides, man, happy, healthy, horny ever after. That's the only story you're going to be writing together. And what a beautiful thing that is. In perfect alignment with the mantra of the movement as we know it right now. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.